Linda, how are you today?
I am doing great.
Excellent. How was your weekend?
You know.
You were supposed to relax.
I was supposed to relax. I was supposed to take a nap. I totally did take a nap.
Okay, that's what I thought. You needed it.
For those who do not know, I've been solo with my two young children for the past 2 weeks. Oh. With the exception of about a 36-hour interlude.
Okay.
Last weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, I went to the First Friday at the Barnes. A friend and I went to the Garden Restaurant.
Oh, beautiful.
Which we've been to brunch there before together.
Yes.
We went for the prefix dinner.
What did you have to drink?
They do have a limited drink selection there.
Oh, do they?
Not a full bar.
Okay.
And I drank. And then we hit the Cecily Brown
theme. What did you drink?
Oh, I don't remember what I drank. I actually don't remember.
So seasonal cocktails.
Seasonal cocktails. Okay. Point me to the nearest cocktail. Which one is the strongest?
Perfect. Okay, good.
But we were really there to see the art. Okay, right. So obviously, we went to see Cecily Brown's Themes and Variations, and then we saw the Barnes Collection. The Cecily Brown is in that space where the Matisse exhibit was last summer.
Oh, yes.
It was really good. I would not bring your young child there.
Why wouldn't you bring your young child there?
There's some graphic imagery, I think.
Okay.
And, you know, especially when your child is at the scream out the body part he sees phase.
Yep, yep.
We're not doing that. It was a fantastic time to go the First Friday because it was way less crowded than when I went last, especially in the collection. Also, it had a revelation.
Yes.
So there's always been something about Matisse that makes me feel nostalgic. I haven't been able to figure out why until just recently, because obviously our lifetimes did not overlap. He died mid-century.
Mm-hmm.
I sorted it out. It's because he uses a lot of thick black lines in his work.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then that reminds me of what I've seen like in Keith Haring's work.
Mm-hmm.
I love Keith Haring. Matisse was one of Keith Haring's inspirations.
Oh, what a great through line.
Mm-hmm. This past week, you and I both went to the opening reception for Nigel Sense's Asamboy at Bridget Meyer's gallery.
Beautiful.
And we met Bridget Meyer herself.
Yes. She's such a beautiful soul. I mean, she's over 20 some years in
Washington Square location.
Gallery space. Mm-hmm. And she has such an amazing depth and breadth of experience. She really takes chances on artists. Mm-hmm. And while we were there, we got some insight from one of the assistants on how they had shipped the art over from
Malaysia,
unstretched in rolls. And then when they got to Philadelphia, they had to bring it to a stretcher, had them stretched, and then placed on the wall. Which mm-hmm. I thought was very interesting.
Very iconoclastic.
Yes.
On Saturday, I ducked into Muse Gallery to check out the new exhibition, Linda Laurie Gross's Paulownia Provings 2. And I actually met the artist. She goes by Lore. And I also met one of the artists from the group show Three Chicks and a Dick from last month.
Wow.
I met Dick.
No.
That is his name.
Nice.
Yeah. Last week, I also bought my family subscriptions for the Philadelphia Ballet,
nice,
including the Nutcracker. The morning they became available, I may have been the first person
you
to buy
them. You got some good spots.
Sure did.
Okay.
I shared this with my 5-year-old son, and he told me ballet was boring.
Oh, already?
Rude.
Isn't he already in ballet class?
Yes, he goes to ballet class.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Before I ask you what you got into, Robert, I need to share with you a revelation that I had over the past 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
For those that don't know, Petit Garçon's godfather, or godpappy, as we call him, is my best male gay friend from my DC and grad school era.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not outing him. He's been out forever. He's married.
We don't do that on the pod.
We don't out people on the pod. But he, Petit Garçon, just started thinking that every male friend of mine who is a gay gentleman, including Robert, yes. is a god poppy. Are you ready for the new title that I have for you, Robert?
Yes.
Pod Poppy.
Pod Poppy. I like it. I like it.
Now that I finished talking about my last 2 weeks, what did you get into?
We had a kind of whirlwind, very quick trip to New York City. We got to see the pop princess herself, Kylie Minogue, at Madison Square Garden, which I heard was the first time she had ever been to Madison Square Garden.
Way.
Yes, it was absolutely incredible. She did an amazing job. She was dancing for hours, and so was the entire stadium. Mm-hmm. We went through the locomotion. We went through her pops. We went through Padam. It was awesome.
And did you go to, you went to a museum, right?
Went to the MoMA as well.
Oh.
I love it there. Absolutely love it there.
Monet,
I
mean, still overrated?
Still overrated, yes. I saw probably the best gallery wall that I could have ever seen in the David Geffen wing, just filled with different...
Cubism, yeah.
Cubism, Picasso, all of it on one entire wall. It was great. It's great to see. Highly recommend.
Is that it?
Yeah, let's get to the conversation.
To the conversation.
Greetings. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart Podcast. In this podcast, we sit down with artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, and other events and initiatives that are not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Degerland.
Hello, hello.
And today we have with us Carolyn Harper and Jennifer Hill of Muse Gallery. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And we're so happy to have you. The Muse Gallery is an artist cooperative dedicated to encourage and promote its members' artistic expression through abstract, conceptual, and representational forms. Reflecting an aesthetic that awakens awareness, the Muse Gallery affirms the shared experience art between artists and the community. Carolyn, can you tell us a little bit more about the Muse Gallery?
Yeah, so we are one of the oldest cooperative art spaces in the city. We were formed in 1977 by a group of women who felt that they, as women artists, were not being seen. So they created their own art space. Originally, it was at Rittenhouse Square, and then at some point, they moved into Old City. Now, it's a gallery that accepts everyone, men, women, transgender. Whatever. We're very inclusive, eclectic. It's just a really great community.
Can you tell us a little bit about your journey with Muse?
Yeah, so I actually joined Muse for the first time in 1998, and I was a member for 3 years. At that time, I was doing a lot of painting. I was doing some work with textiles. And then I took a hiatus for a number of years, and I rejoined Muse in, I want to say, 2015, and I've been a member ever since, and I'm currently the director. We sort of have a rotating directorship. I have been doing it for a couple of years now.
Wow.
I'm just really happy to be part of this community.
And Jennifer, how about you? When did your story start with Muse?
Not that long ago. I actually was asked by another member, Margaret Watson, to do a show with her in August a few years ago, and I was delighted, and I thought the group that I met was amazing. All the artists in Muse are just great people, and Carolyn won't say it, but she's just an incredible director.
Aww.
Really, really amazing. It was just a great environment, and I loved the audience. I love the people in downtown that come in. They just really are engaged with the art, and they love it. So I decided to apply, and I think that was in early 2024. And maybe it started in the fall of 23. Yeah, I think so. Anyway, I'm really thrilled.
Excellent.
One of the great things about being part of a cooperative gallery is that as an artist, you can do whatever you want. And if your work changes over time, that's okay too. Originally in 2015, I was doing a lot of photography and I was accepted as a photographer. And now I'm back to textile.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
so there's
I love
just
that.
So much freedom to do what you want. So,
and at the cooperative, are you able to have, do you have a certain space that you are able to share your art with? Or are you as a director or are the artists all coming together to curate the space themselves?
So each member, and at any given time, we have between 19 and 22 members.
Okay.
So each member gets a solo show approximately once every 2 years.
Wow.
And they take over the entire space in Old City. And then we have a group show every December. And also we have a little space behind the main space that is our group artist wall, and our artists put up like a very small 10 by 10 inch piece of work.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, very nice.
Can we go back to being a cooperative gallery? Muse doesn't put restrictions on maybe moving from one medium to another. That is something that I would have never expected, that maybe more commercial, is that the right word?
Yes.
Commercial galleries impose upon their artists.
Yes.
Just very breaking true, yeah. in to say that.
Yeah, it is very unique. Once a member is juried in, there is a process to be voted in. But once you are a member, you really have absolute freedom.
Wow.
Amazing.
What's the most unique direction a member has gone previously?
Well, that's an interesting question because we have had installations that take over the whole gallery. We're such an eclectic group. So we have mixed media artists, painters, sculptors, photographers. I do a huge textile quilt.
Can you tell us a little bit about the First Fridays that happen at Muse and in Old City?
Yeah, so First Friday has been going on in Old City decades. And it used to be a huge thing. When I first moved to Philadelphia in the early 90s, it was huge. And then it has tapered off, and COVID really did some damage to it. But since COVID, it has come back with a vengeance.
Oh, yeah.
And every First Friday is packed. We are packed on First Fridays. We're open from 5 to 8 p.m. We usually serve wine and water and snacks. What I love is that we have a lot of the same people who come every First Friday, and we get to know them and form a relationship with, you know, our audience, our viewers who mm-hmm. come back again and again. What would you say, Jennifer?
Definitely, definitely. And people that come in really want to know about the individual artists. And mm-hmm. that's what's also really nice is that you have these people that come back again and again, and they talk to you if you're sitting in the gallery. They're like, what's your work like? And so you form relationships with the community, really.
That's exactly, it's a great community builder.
It is.
Every single month to have like a little check-in.
Actually, the last time that you and I went, Robert, to Old City First Friday, it was I think it was June.
Mm-hmm.
And it was The Intimate Eye by Joanne Donine.
Donine, yeah. Donine.
And yeah. Muse Gallery was hopping.
Oh, yeah.
It was really tough just to, like, get yes. in there.
It was shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, it is like that most months, honestly. Yeah.
I like to go in the Saturday after the First Friday because you get much less of a crowd. And on Saturdays, I'm always with my older son, and he's a lot more easier to manage whenever there is not a crowd.
Yeah, that's true.
But I like to bring him too because then he kind of gets a perspective on it. Muse Gallery has been nothing but so sweet to him whenever he comes in. And I mean, I'm sure some people see him a mile away and are like, oh no.
Oh, we love children. We love having children come in. Some people bring their dogs. We are very accommodating.
Very yeah. welcoming yes, space.
Very welcoming.
Do you have any upcoming events that you would like to share?
Well, our current show is Linda Laurie Gross, and it's a mixed media show. She takes the leaves of the Polonia tree, and she transforms them into sculpture.
Oh,
and
wow.
She also makes other sculptural works. So she is going to be having an artist talk, but unfortunately that date is not set.
Okay.
And I think it is the 26th, but that is up in the air. We will put a sign in Muse Gallery when I know for sure. And then next month is going to be fabulous also. Rashida Salam is originally from Malaysia, but she's been living and working and teaching in Philadelphia for a couple of decades now. And her work is spectacular. it combines color and pattern. It's so vibrant. She sews painted sculptures as well as wall paintings. I think it's going to be a fantastic show.
We'll see it because we have plans to be there.
Oh, yes.
Oh, good, good. And yes. She will be, she has a friend showing with her, Deborah Bruns Thomas, and they will be doing an artist talk on Sunday, May 18th at 2 p.m.
Great. We'll put that in the show notes.
Excellent.
Fabulous.
Jennifer, could you share a little bit about your art and then your journey with your art?
Sure. I have really, I sort of believe in experimentation and really just trying out everything. So I graduated with a degree in painting from the San Francisco Art Institute, which I just loved. And I did installation there also, did a little bit of film stuff. So I'm always kind of going sort of in between painting, film, photography. And I like to do work on paper because it's really just such an easy setup too, a lot of times. So I got into the Muse Gallery with photographs that I was using this very primitive camera obscura, and it makes these sort of spooky, atmospheric, really weird.
Very evocative.
Yeah, and they're photographs. They look kind of like, I did a lot of plants, and the plants sort of form these figures that look like humans, or it's bizarre. And then now I'm kind of going back to paper a little bit, and I think I might end up doing my show with a little bit of both. I'm not sure yet, but.
Great.
Yeah.
Do you know when your next show is?
It's going to be in June 2026. Oh, okay. 2026.
Oh, okay. Lovely. Lovely.
I put it out for a while because I just felt like I really wanted to explore between now and then what I wanted to do next there.
How many pieces do you usually try to present?
Gosh, I'm going to say probably 15, something like that. Maybe a little bit more or less, depending.
That's great. And around how long would it take for you to get through that process?
Of making that many?
Yeah.
It really depends because I feel like it's sometimes work happens really quickly for me. Like some you can do a beautiful painting sometimes in 20 minutes, and then other times you're working on that same painting for 20 years.
Yeah.
I have some that I've been
and
working
just
on.
And it never stops. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, it's not right yet.
Right. One more tweak.
Exactly.
That's great.
So it varies.
And Carolyn, how about your art?
Yeah, so I work in textiles, and my work has a strong social justice component to it. It really comes out of work that I was doing in the 90s when I was making quilt panels for the AIDS Names Memorial Quilt Project.
Oh, wow.
And about 12 years ago, I started making quilts again, and they're hand-sewn, and they're portrait quilts. So what I've been working on for the last 5 years are portraits of people who have been impacted by mass incarceration, and I do a lot of advocacy work around that issue, and I really want to tell the stories of people who have been forgotten.
Yeah.
A lot of the work is really large because I want to make it difficult for the viewer to look away. So my largest quilt was actually like 20 by 10 feet.
Oh, wow.
More often, it's more like 10 feet by 8 feet or 10 feet by 6 feet. And then right now I'm working on a series of smaller pieces as well.
How long is that process?
I am an obsessive, so I work all the time. I literally never stop working.
Yes,
so the day that my show goes up, I'm thinking about my next show and starting to work on it.
I'm sure there's a lot of research that also goes with those, especially trying to find the person and the story that then goes with each one of those pieces.
Yeah, I form strong connections with the people whose portraits I do. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, is really part of the process and sharing my process with them, getting their feedback. Not just about the work, but what about what they want to communicate to an audience?
Mm-hmm. For at least this project, you've chosen Philadelphia-based incarceration, or is it?
It's Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And when is your next show going to be?
November.
This year?
This year.
Great. All right. Well, we'll get into some rapid-fire questions, unless there was anything else you wanted to share more about Muse Gallery.
But I want to just reiterate that every month is different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's great that you can have a show and do whatever you want. If you wanted to put a piece of notebook paper up on the wall that says, I'm out for lunch, you can do it.
Tape a banana to the wall,
right.
know?
Exactly. Yeah. That's a freedom you don't get with a commercial gallery.
All right. rapid fire questions. There will just be a couple. If you could choose one piece of art in the world to hang in your home, what would it be?
Well, honestly, this may be cheating, but I would like to take the entire Cy Twombly room that's at the Philadelphia Museum of Art and move it into my house, or better yet, move my house into the room.
Okay. It is a large room.
Yeah, it would be
perfect.
Yes.
I think I would go with Las Meninas by Velázquez. Mm-hmm. I love that painting.
Describe the Philly art scene in one word. What would it be?
Inclusive. There's a space for everyone.
I would say very enthusiastic.
If you could let us know a current artist that people are sleeping on.
So I'd like to give a shout out to Kalila Jones. She is a very young textile artist. I've known her forever, and I've seen her work develop. As a child, she was like a crochet prodigy, and she makes these incredible crochet sculptures.
I think we've heard of her before. I think somebody has mentioned her to us, yes?
Okay. Potentially.
Well, then maybe she's getting known.
She's getting out there. Yeah, I like
that
it.
That would be great. Yes. I would love that.
And your favorite beverage at the moment?
Oh, I'm a pure iced water.
Oh.
Straight up water.
Cold or warm?
Cold.
Okay.
Yes. And then a little lemon in it, perfect. But no bubbles.
I would have to say I love Genmaicha tea, that green tea.
Ooh.
Like the popcorn tea,
very
little
nice.
Bits of popcorn in it.
Excellent.
I'm going to ask a question too.
Okay.
Cheese steaks, with whiz or without?
I am a vegetarian, almost a vegan sometimes, so I would say...
No cheese steak at all?
No cheese steak at all. Although there is a pub, believe it or not, in Narberth called The Greeks, and they have a vegan cheese steak. That is amazing.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to put it in my show notes.
I love it.
What about you, Jennifer?
I would say with Wiz.
Are you a Carrie, Miranda, Charlotte, or Samantha? Just kidding. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
I believe it or not, I just started watching it.
Oh, really?
Really?
Oh,
just started.
My gosh,
and
I love it.
I say I want to be a Carrie, but right? I don't think I'm a Carrie.
There has been a reckoning on Carrie lately.
Really?
I suppose so, yes. Maybe Samantha. I'd like to be Samantha. Who's the uptight one?
Who's
Charlotte?
Charlotte.
Yeah. I don't want to be Charlotte. Yeah,
right.
Definitely
exactly.
Not Charlotte. Definitely not. The redhead is kind of interesting to me. The one with short hair.
She has gotten a following in the past few
She's
years.
She's pretty sharp.
Yes, exactly.
I like her.
Where can we find Muse Gallery?
So our physical space is at 52 North 2nd Street in Old City. That's between Market and Arch, right next to the Arden Theater. And we are open Wednesday through Sunday from 12 to 5. On social media, we're at Muse Gallery Phila. And our website is musegalleryphiladelphia.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you both for joining us today and sharing your stories.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us. And we love your podcast, and we're happy to be a part of it.
Awesome. Thank you. We'll have you again.
We'll see you on First Friday.
Yes, we will.
Robert, what are you getting into this weekend?
Oh, this weekend. Okay, so we're starting our weekend on Thursday with the performance at the Museum for Art and Wood.
Hold Signal is happening on Thursday, or it'll be tomorrow by the time this podcast goes live. If you go back 3 episodes ago, Colin, Sam, and Katie, they talk about what you can expect. The event is free, but registration is recommended. The link is in the show notes. Hard start at 7:30 p.m. Remember, no punk time here, guys. What's on Friday?
We have a great collab between the Philadelphia Museum of Art as well as the Philadelphia Ballet. Friday the 18th at the museum. Starting at 5 p.m.
Hard start, guys.
Hard start. 5 p.m. There's going to be a tour of Boom, Art and Design in the 1940s.
So 5 p.m. tour of Boom, Art and Design in the 1940s, followed by a 6 p.m. performance.
Followed by a 6 p.m. performance of the ballet, which I believe is going to be the Grand Stair Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to also then have a talk with the dancers and I believe maybe even the choreographer.
If you are not already a Young Friend of either of these organizations, now's a great time to do it. Young Friends get a free drink ticket.
Whoa.
Hello.
Need to be there for that.
Lastly, our guest from 2 weeks ago, Brooke Lanier, is having an anniversary party for her gallery on Saturday the 19th at her gallery, Brooke Lanier Fine Art.
And Cecily Brown, Themes and Variations at the Barnes is ongoing, as well as Nigel Sense's works at Bridget Meyer Gallery. Check those all out this weekend. And as always, Philly has heart.
And art. You actually caught us mid-intro. Totally okay. I love that. This is going to be very fun for later. Can we pick up with our notes and we keep going and then we'll give it to the conversation? Okay,
perfect.
Great.
Awesome. Okay.